Previously on the Adventure Zone.
Lucas, our scientific advisor, who has helped us build this base.
Oh, the guy who was an asshole to the void fish.
Oh, so you have met him. He's gone too far. He's found a grand relic and has apparently been experimenting with it behind our backs. It's the Philosopher's Stone.
The Harry Potter book?
Listen, I, it's not me who's doing this, okay? Something has taken over the Philosopher's Stone, and it used it to turn the exterior of my lab into crystal, specifically solid pink tourmaline, and whatever is channeling that relic is still somehow using it, meaning everything that the gem touches is also going to get coated in gemstones.
If his lab touches the ground, whole planet crystal.
It's time for the regulators to roll out. We're sending you in to detain and extract Lucas for his abuse of confidential information. Standard protocol applies. These suits allow you to cancel out a particular school of magic. Any transmutation magic that tries to affect you or any of the belongings you brought are going to be impervious. This is Carrie Fangbattle. She's a rogue, and she's damn good. My name is Boyland.
Excuse me?
Does anyone have Anthony Michael Hall's phone number? Because we're about to encounter some weird science. It's the Adventure Zone.
So the three of you are currently sitting in a gondola, which is a fancy word for a little boat, on a makeshift dock in the Bureau of Balance hangar. Sitting just across from you in another gondola is the regulator crew. You got Casey Fangbattle, you got Killian, and you got Boyland, who clarified over Twitter that the name is pronounced Boyland. But I received explicit permission to go ahead and call this character Boyland. And so, canonically, that's exactly what it is from now on.
Fair enough.
Good.
And the Bureau of Balance base has moved through the night sky to the point where it is about 50 or 60 feet up and about 30 feet sort of away from the laboratory of Lucas Miller.
Do you mean laboratory?
Whatever you want to call it.
Well, it's America, so we're going to say laboratory.
Okay. Well, it's not like America in the game, so I think I can call it whatever the fuck I want. You're in my world now.
All right. We're in the laboratory.
You're getting your first look at this.
What level are we now?
Eight.
Eight?
Okay.
I can't see why that's like important to
Homeboy,
the situation.
Homeboy didn't save his character sheet, so he's just trying
oh great.
To
stuff.
Well, I gave him that extra dry erase board, so that'll help.
Is that the dry erase board available for sale at MaxFunStore.com?
Well, it's made by Topatico. Did you know that? Or Topatico?
I don't listen. That's not in fiction.
But it's a wonderful product. I have two of them. I'm giving one to Taco.
Okay. Well, I know what those look like, just like when you get them from the store and they don't have Taco's vital stats on them. So I guess you're just going to be making a lot of this shit up. Boy, I need to save your guys' character sheets for you.
Not mine.
I've got mine. I do my own work.
Dad, yours is literally on the most like ephemeral way it could be, possibly. Please do not act like you are king shit, because that could be erased with like a stiff breeze.
This is great. Are you criticizing the product, Justin?
No, it's a great product.
All right.
So you're getting your first look at the lab now. And it's kind of similar in scale to the Bureau of Balance lab. It was kind of the prototype for the Bureau of Balance headquarters. It was kind of the prototype for the base you are currently stationed at. Only it is, as Lucas suggested, covered in pink crystal. And there's kind of a gnarly winter storm happening outside. And so there are these.
Griffin,
like,
I'm sorry. Gnarly is in awesome or gnarly is in bad?
As in, like, well, if you like the winter weather, if you were
hoping
for a
you could say, like, they were gnarly waves, dude.
Yeah, okay, so if you were, like, snow surfing, they would be gnarly waves.
Got it.
There's a lot of snow accumulating, and it's actually caused some, like, weird, like spiky buildup all around the exterior.
Oh, I hate
of,
spiky
of
buildup.
Yeah, you're going to need some grime spray or something for that. But otherwise, it looks kind of like the Bureau of Balance headquarters, except it's all sort of contained in a single gigantic dome. There's no, like, outdoor quad area. There's no, you know, lush field of grass. It's all just one sort of enclosed
space.
So,
like, we got the LS model, and he just got, like, the standard off, you know, yes, like, off the lot.
Exactly.
Yeah, no
right.
Seat warmers.
The Bureau of Balance headquarters benefited from being the second iteration. And the director walks up to the six of you in your two gondolas, and she says, now we've had to get kind of creative with your approach. We can't have you connected in any way, because if, say, for instance, if you rappel down, if the rope touches the crystal, it could travel up here, and we could lose the base. So we've cast a levitation charm on both of these gondolas, and we're kind of going to need to just sort of hurl you down there.
Nice.
Nice.
Hurl?
We're just going to, yeah, we're going to, like, well, I'm not going to do it. Avi's going to do it, but we're just going to kind of push you off and angle you, and then just kind of do like a, like we're throwing a lawn dart.
Okay.
I would be lying if I said this was the safest thing.
I'm on board with it.
Okay.
Has OSHA cleared this?
Absolutely not. Mm. But we've only got about 36 minutes.
OSHA,
left,
so. More like, oh shit, let's do this.
Oh, okay. And with that, Avi, if you do the honors, Avi goes behind the regulator's gondola and grabs onto the back of it and kind of just gives it like a running push off the edge.
And he forgets to let go. Oh no,
Doc. Oh no, bye. Avi's dead. No, he's not. He's not dead. He pushes the other gondola off, and you watch it very slowly, very diagonally, start moving through this winter storm. And then Avi comes up and grabs the back of your gondola and says, you guys ready to go?
Feel the rhythm. Feel the rhyme.
Get on up. It's fantasy bobsled time. I don't know why I added fantasy to that. Anyway, bye.
To the extreme!
As you holler that into the abyss, you are pushed off of the Bureau of Balance hangar, and it's a bit terrifying because now you're kind of free falling, kind of sinking slowly, kind of floating diagonally directly towards the laboratory, and your target is this hole towards the top of the base, the skylight in the conservatory that Lucas mentioned in last week's episode that you probably forgot about. And you're kind of sinking towards this. You see Carrie Fangbattle, like, standing up in the her gondola, just kind of like hooting and hollering, having a good old time. But this, it's a pretty upsetting experience, this sinking.
Magnus is actually on board.
And this descent lasts for about a good 30 seconds or so. You're getting pretty close to the base. But suddenly a squall from this winter storm presses up against your boat, and your boat starts a rocking and a rowing in the sky. And so does the regulator's boat. You actually see them get a little bit more altitude. Like, this storm is like picking them up a little bit and sort of throwing off Avi's trajectory. And as you approach the base, they've actually gained a lot of altitude, and you watch their gondola just kind of sail over this craggy sort of crystalline mountain range that has sort of built up as the snow collects on top of the base, and you watch them sort of disappear out of sight, while your own boat gets rocked around a little bit, but the trajectory doesn't get off too much, and you guys skid to a halt on top of this lab's dome, kind of precariously teetering over the edge of this hole into the conservatory below.
Wow, what a ride.
Yeah, that was thrilling.
I feel bad for the other guys.
As soon as your boat touches down, it turns to crystal. Not as soon as it does. There's a kind of a slow transformation process, but it turns to crystal. And now, like, sort of how you were precariously positioned, it's actually getting a little teeter-tottery.
I just named that boat. Okay, so we hop in the hole?
No. I say we move towards the back of the boat very carefully.
Well, Griffin, when it crystallizes, is it like attack?
No, it's not fused. It's not fused. No, it's just on there, and it's now covered in crystal.
Yeah, I'm with Merle on this one then.
Okay. You scoot very carefully to the back of the boat. Is there a check I can make you do? Well, yeah, I think I need to. What would this fall under if you're carefully scooting? Is there a scoot modifier?
Athletics for balance, I guess, right?
I'll let you guys do either athletics or dexterity.
Okay.
Whichever one you want.
Athletics. That is an 18 plus 7, 25.
That succeeds.
All right.
Looking for two successes.
That's a 19.
That'll do
plus
it.
Plus 4, that's 23.
So 7.
Okay, the other two got you covered. They very dexterously back up to the back of the boat, and it comes down with a thud on the top of this solid base, and you are not in danger of falling in this hole.
Nice. Great. We solved the whole puzzle.
That was not a puzzle.
Oh, okay. It was, because we could have fallen in, but we didn't.
10 experience points.
10, okay, 11 for me, thank you.
Wait, you fucked up. Why do you get more?
What?
Because he needs them more.
Because it's a handicap. I'm handicapping.
Okay. So, you can see down in this hole now. It's about a 30-foot drop down into the conservatory. It's a pretty cavernous room. It is completely, you can't see much from where you're at, but you can tell that, this conservatory that was full of all these towering, trees has been completely crystallized.
Can we rappel down the wall?
I think rappel is like how a human being would pronounce that word.
I think it's rappel. I think the accent's on the first
but
syllable.
I think the problem is if the rope touches anything, it's going to turn to crystal, right?
Can we robble down the wall like the hamburger does?
Could we use a grappling hook?
We could use a grappling hook.
All of the belongings that you have with you have been treated with the same stuff that went into your null suits, which I don't think I did a great job of explaining last week. It's basically like a spacesuit. I wanted you guys to be wearing spacesuits.
Yeah.
So you're wearing spacesuits.
No,
you're
I got it. I could totally have the visual.
Cool. If you had a rope with you, you could try and climb down it or, you know, do whatever.
Okay, we do that.
Okay. There's a few like rocky or crystally outcroppings that you could tie a rope to. You all three are going to need to make some athletics checks. It'll be pretty bad if you fall down this. It's a 40-foot drop. That's a ton of damage, but
13 plus 7, 20.
Okay.
9 plus 4, 13.
Athletics check. That's going to not be great for me. Let me do a quick... maybe acrobatics.
No, it wouldn't really be acrobatics unless you're doing like some fucking Cirque du Soleil shit, like suspending yourself by a single ankle.
Juice, do you have a spell you could use instead of using the rope? Don't you have a feather duster or something?
Feather fall. I sold that.
cool.
No, you have a in your umbrella. That was one of the effects you had.
That's why I sold it. Yes, feather fall. Excellent. That's a great idea, Travis. Thank you. Or
you're
should
welcome.
I say, whatever, fantasy Travis.
Magnus, like a veteran gym teacher, goes down a rope, just like hand over hand, upside down, like totally balling.
Yeah, he's the greatest.
And reaches the crystalline forest floor below. And Magnus, you see Taco and Merle just try and do this, but they like get two hands down and just like both fall, and you shout, feather fall. Yeah, your umbrella has group feather fall, which you got from one of the staves
of the bosses.
Your umbrella ate. Yeah.
It was either Cut Man or Fall Man or...
it safely enshrouds you and Merle in silvery light as you slowly descend to the floor below.
I want it stated that I rolled a 13. I mean, he got 5. I shouldn't have needed that much help, should I?
No, actually, you probably wouldn't have fallen, but you would have gotten some bad burns on your hands.
Oh, okay. I don't want bad burns.
And you need those hands. So you've made it to the floor of the conservatory, it's full of these. It's basically a forest, artificial forest of these crystalline trees, you're sort of surrounded. You can see two paths from where you landed. You can see a path out to a pond that has also been crystallized. It's basically just a big pink clearing now. And
now, Griffin, are we safe to assume that everything has been crystallized just to save you a little time in describing everything?
Everything in this room has been crystallized.
Got it.
So, yes, if you want me, I can stop saying that word as much as I have been.
I'm just afraid it will begin to lose meaning.
Yeah, sure. In the opposite direction, you see a small sort of clearing that almost looks like a garden.
Has it been crystallized?
It has actually been crystallized.
Great.
And there are actually
Could you start describing things by what hasn't been crystallized yet?
Okay. Nothing.
Like, if there was air in a room, you wouldn't say, like, and there's air everywhere, and it's just, like, all around you, and it's you and below you in parts. Like, let's just assume crystals are like air, and there's crystals, just like crystals.
crystals everywhere. Beautiful.
And it would tinkle. Wouldn't that be cool? If
it
would just tinkling all around us. Like
crystals. How's the tinkle, Griffin? Tell us about your tinkle.
Put some tinkle in those crinkles.
There's some ambient crinkle tinkles.
Okay.
It's kind of like you're in like a Mario Ice level.
Is there just like a sprinkle of crinkle tinkles?
Yes.
Okay.
So anyway, there's a frozen garden, crystallized. There's some. There are actually some robots in it. They're holding like various garden tools, a watering can,
crystallized robots.
Some shears. Yeah, they've all been crystallized.
Everything.
It's all crystal, baby.
Oh. And they're non-functioning, I assume, right?
No, they're actually screaming. No, yeah, they're not functioning. They are dormant.
Should we attack them, you think? Should we kill them?
So. They're wrapped in air, by which I mean crystals.
Ditto. Do we have any kind of map or understanding of where to go from the conservatory, or do they just, like, drop us off and figure that we'll just, like, intuit the way?
Lucas said that you need to move toward the interior of the base. The conservatory is sort of on the outside. And you need to move toward the center, because that's where he is in a med bay, holed up in a med bay, that is not crystallized. He needs you to get to him and help him out.
Could I suggest a perception check to help us figure out where to go?
Yes, you may.
I suggest a perception check.
Okay.
Good call.
20. There's my good roll. I've been waiting for those good rolls, and it's when I need to look at a bunch of fucking crystals. Just
I
exactly
an 18.
What I hope for. What?
I rolled an 18.
We're bringing all those big points.
I rolled a 3.
Dad falls over, and a crystal goes through his eye socket.
Oh, wait, no, I had to add 3 for perception check, so it's a 6.
It got both eyes.
The secrets of the universe are exposed to you. Taco and Magnus, you make out across this pond, and you know that pond is made of crystal, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Also, everything's crystal.
I'm literally appending crystal to every word you say.
Okay, great. Across that pond, you actually see something that doesn't have the same sort of pink hue that everything else around you has. You actually see a faint circle of white light. And you can see some metal inside of that circle that is just metal. It is not crystallized.
I would like to move closer to that.
Okay. As you guys move across this pond, that crinkle tinkle that you've sort of been hearing the whole time you've been in this room starts to get louder until it's almost like a consistent, like, hum. And pretty soon that hum is forming like a melody. It's forming music, and it's coming from like, it's not like there's a loudspeaker anywhere. It's just like coming, it's resonating through the crystal. And you can hear it. And eventually on top of that hum, you hear a voice, and the voice sounds weird. It sounds, it doesn't sound real. It sounds synthetic in a way. And that voice sings the following.
Pulled from my home in silent cloud, lost to the dark, I drift alone. Now I'm returned to English road, ever to hang upon my throne, here in my crystal kingdom.
Now, Griffin, is this something I need to write down? Is it like a direct clue, or is it just like, okay?
I mean, it's not going to be like the password to a safe later on, word for word, that you have to like sing it back to it. It's what I like to call foreshadowing and maybe character development.
What the fuck?
Okay, that's what I was looking for. As you shout that, a rift appears in the air directly in front of you. Just kind of it's not very big. It's pretty small, about the size of a tennis ball. Just kind of tears itself in the fabric of space. And from it, a small light pops out. A small little ball of light pops out and drops into the pond that you're standing on. And then shit gets really, really raw very, very quickly. It feels like there's an earthquake in this room. And you hear the sound of trees just falling over and shattering as they hit the ground. And shards of those trees are flying at you toward where this light dropped in, and from the pond that you're standing on, like a huge chunk of crystal comes flying up. And I actually need all of you guys to make a dexterity saving throw to dodge all of these crystal shards as they fly in your direction.
18 plus 2, 20.
16.
10 plus 0.
Okay.
10.
Taco and Magnus, you dodge them. Merle, you are not as lucky. A pretty sharp, like almost blade of crystal comes flying in your direction that's been sheared off of a tree nearby, and hits you for 7 damage. And knocks you to the ground, but it doesn't do. Weirdly enough, it doesn't do like slashing damage to you. Your spacesuit is not cut open. It almost feels like the suit converted it to like blunt damage. Whatever this suit is made out of is sort of protected against slashes.
But that's going to leave a nasty bruise, isn't it?
Yeah, a 7 HP sized bruise.
Arg!
And all of these crystal shards are flying together and sort of floating in air and self-forming to create a pretty horrifying sight. It is a creature, and it stands at about 15 feet tall. It's got 4 razor-sharp claws extending off of these arms that are nearly the length of its body. It's got these long legs that end almost in points. It doesn't appear to have traditional feet. It seems to be just sort of suspended in the air somehow. And its torso is comprised of a large single piece of tourmaline that's about as broad and tall as a refrigerator, with these nasty looking spurs poking out of it. And its head is these. More of these crystal blades coming together to form like a pyramid-like peak. And that light has risen out of the pond you're standing on and is now spread throughout this entire crystal golem, making it appear like his insides are all just white fire. And it looks pretty menacing.
I whisper to my shield, did I ever tell you about the time I fought all those crystal monsters?
Okay. Go ahead and make a bluff check.
Okay. That is a not good enough.
Okay. That's one strike.
What 13. Was it? Come on.
Hey, Shield, he's lying.
While you did that very discreetly, this giant razor-sharp crystal monster is just kind of eyeing the three of you over. He's standing still for the time being.
Hail and well met.
Eating to it.
It turns its head.
Yoinks in a way!
My name is Taco, and you look like you're made of salt.
It flies at you, Taco, and puts its head just like inches away from your own. And gets real, real
close.
Don't
mention Alt Say.
A little hard hearing, huh? Well, that's okay. Come on in. We're adventurers.
I don't sound like this. I don't know.
No, that's pretty good. I don't think it's that bad.
It's not bad.
That was premium Taco.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Where's the interior? Hey, Salt.
It backs away from you, Taco. It sort of moves
What's
back.
What's up now, Geodude?
I believe his name is Morton.
Magnus, it turns to you next, and it sort of flies up on you next and gets real, real, real close and just kind of eyes you over. And it's glowing a little bit brighter inside, that white light.
I eye it right back.
Okay. You don't move. You're steely gazed.
Yeah.
Do you want to try and intimidate it?
Yeah. Now that you mention it, I do. That's a nat 20.
Okay. You crit, and it backs up like a millimeter. So little that maybe your two cohorts didn't notice, but you know. You know.
I know.
You know.
You know what the fuck's up. and he backs away from you, too. Like you back.
King Kangan got shit on me.
Like he backs away from Taco. And then Merle, he moves to you next. And he gets all up in your business. He gets all up in your grill.
I start to very subtly and very easily cry. Big tears are rolling down my cheeks because I'm sure he's going to kill me.
It's a clever move, Dad.
I'll never see that one coming. I know I should.
And then with a quivering lip, I cast Meld into Stone.
Wait a minute. Why are you doing this?
And I can meld with him.
He hasn't attacked us yet.
Well, he hasn't attacked us. Let's not instigate with the big crystal monster.
Well, it doesn't attack him. It doesn't hurt him.
You just want to become...
Maybe I can understand him a little better.
You just want to stop the world and melt with him.
If I meld with him, maybe I'll know what he's thinking. All right, I won't meld into stone.
That white light inside of him, Merle, is now glowing even brighter. And this big crystal golem moves away from the three of you now and surveys all three of you one more time and then holds out one of its long, sharp claws and points it at Merle. And you hear stones in its head rub together to form a sound that sounds vaguely like, "You." And then we're going to roll initiative.
Did he finish the statement by saying, "Suck"?
You are a jerk.
You're great.
You, too, is one of my favorite bands. No, their late work doesn't get enough credit, but they've been in something of a renaissance for the past half decade. Bono is still one of the most electrifying frontmen in the business today. I saw their show in Leeds. It was amazing. Don't get me started on Slash. And
the Edge. Who's why
forget
Slash?
Forget all about Bucket Man.
These are not people in U2.
I guess I don't know as much about U2 as I thought I did. What do you want, an apology?
Did you confuse Edge the Edge with Slash?
Both are,
well, you slash with an edge.
Yeah, both are blades. Yeah. I don't know.
And their friend Blunts.
Wow, that would actually be a way better band. Everybody, it's Griffin McElroy, your dungeon master, your best friend, and your long-lost uncle. Lost me in the Adirondacks hiking about two decades back. I ain't seen you in a while, but you growed up real nice. Thanks for listening to The Adventure Zone, episode 30, the second part of our Crystal Kingdom arc. I hope you've enjoyed it. Let's get into the advertisements. I have a call to action for everybody listening to the podcast this week. I hope you're enjoying our Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Here's my call to action. Go listen to another Dungeons & Dragons podcast. I'm not saying you replace our show with theirs. More you supplement it, because you can't have enough real play D&D podcasts in your life. The one I want you to go listen to is called Drunks & Dragons. It's Drunks & Dragons. You can find it on iTunes, or assumedly where all podcasts are sold. Drunks and Dragons is a fun, lighthearted, real-play D&D podcast with a huge back catalog to listen to. Drunks and Dragons isn't just a podcast. It's a welcoming and inclusive community of gamers that are waiting to become your best friends. Again, not to replace me as your best friend. Still waiting on that Christmas card, best friend. But to supplement it with more best friends, more dungeons, more dragons, more drunks. We don't record the podcast drunk, so that'll be like a new energy that they bring to the table. Anyway, the show's called Drunks and Dragons, and go look it up on iTunes and check it out and listen to it. Got a personal message here. If you want to get a personal message or a business message on the Adventure Zone, just go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. We got spots available for folks who want to give a little shout-out on the show. It's easy to sign up for one. You can find all the details, again, at MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. Message here is for Marvy. I'm wondering if that's the same Marvy that I made a character in Adventure Zone and then my family murdered, but I hope not, because this message is for Marvy, and it's from Alden. And Alden says, Merry Christmas, Marvy. I am so proud of you for following your dreams and going to grad school. I know the transition is hard, but you are so strong and are handling it great. I love you and know you will be the best, Alden. Or you will be the best, Alden. No, there's a comma in there. You will be the best, comma, Alden. Sincerely, I assume Alden. Unless maybe Marvy is going to Alden school and is going to take you over, going to take your job. And then you're going to have to change your name to something else, like Bo or something. Merry Christmas, Marvy, and good luck with the grad school. Got another personal message here. This one's for Nicole, and it's from David. And David says, Nicole, thank you for helping me through a rough time. You've always been there for me, and I'll always be there for you. You're the best not-a-girlfriend a guy could ask for. Just always remember, Josh loves Donna. That's from David. Some spoilers in there. Some West Wing mid-series run spoilers in there. Will they? Won't they? Who am I to say? I don't know who I am to say. But go watch The West Wing, because it's a really, really, really wonderful television show. Anyway, Nicole, David, congratulations on your arrangement. Not sure exactly what it is. I had to reread the email a few times to sort of understand it. It sounds like there's a lot of love there. And that's, you know, that's all you need in this crazy, mixed up, dumb world of ours. I want to say thanks to everybody who's been tweeting about the show using the Zonecast hashtag on Twitter. Why did I say on Twitter? Of course, that's where you've been putting your tweets and hashtags and stuff. It helps us out a lot when you tweet about the show and share it with your friends. We do not advertise or market the show in any way, aside from the promo spots that we run in the other Maximum Fun shows. Speaking of which, go to MaximumFun.org and go listen to all the other wonderful programs that are there. I've heard rumblings of some new stuff coming down the pipe that I'm very excited about on the Max Fun Network, but there's some really great stuff there right now too, like, The Flophouse and Lady to Lady and Can I Pet Your Dog? We do other shows on the network like My Brother and Me and Sawbones, and Bunker Buddies. So yeah, there's a ton of programming there. It's all free and it's all very good. Anyway, tweet about the show using the Zonecast hashtag. You might end up as a character in this arc. Still got a few characters that I need to name, so get those tweets in. If you want to help us out in other ways, you can review the show on iTunes. That helps get us bumped up the charts a bit. But really, the best thing you can do for us is just tell your friends about us. Make that your resolution. Moving into 2016, building bridges. We want you to share the show if you can, even with friends that you don't think like D&D. We didn't like D&D until we started playing it. Anyway, that's enough of that. I don't really have any other like messages I need to say, except for it's been over a year now since we've been doing this podcast, and the reaction to it has been absolutely wonderful. It's been like the most exciting sort of creative endeavor that I've probably ever been a part of. And, thank you all so much for being so supportive of it, and helping it be a success. We really genuinely appreciate it and, love doing it and look forward to doing it a whole lot more in 2016. So, stay tuned. Next episode is going up on January. This should be easy since it's the 31st, but I'm an idiot, so I want to double check. Yes, January 14th, 2016. Can you believe that shit? January 14th, 2016. We'll see you then. Bye.
I rolled an 18. I'm sorry I'm rolling so well, everyone. I know. Mm-hmm. I know it always seems sketch.
Quite a conspiracy theorist.
All right, that was an 8, but I get to roll again and add 2 to the highest one.
Yeah, my final number is 20.
12 plus 2, 14.
8.
First in the order is Magnus.
So fighting now?
That's typically what initiative means.
Yeah, we're rolling initiative to see
who hugged. So I was right.
See who hugged first.
I am going to two-handed slash him with rail splitter.
Okay.
Let me get all my accoutrement here. Okay, that is 14 plus 7 at 21.
Yeah, that does it.
And that is 1d10 plus 6. That is a 7 plus 6, 13. And I am going to use one of my new skills called Goading Strike. When an attack lands, it is the damage plus my thing, so 13 plus 4, 17. So, Ditto, you got to roll a 17 or better and on a wisdom saving throw. And on a fail, the target has disadvantage on attacks, not against me.
Okay. 15. Not going to do it.
Nope.
Okay, and how much damage did you deal?
I did 13.
Okay. You actually did 6.
Okay, well, good news. I'm going to attack again with my second attack.
Okay.
Two-handed strike. That's a 16 plus 7, 23.
That does it.
What?
That does it.
That hit it.
Great.
That's a hit.
And that does 3 plus 7, 6, so 9 damage.
Okay, that's 4 damage.
Cool. So this guy is strong, y'all.
Yeah, and next in the order, you see him is the crystal golem. You see him like start to like he wants to attack you because of that attack you did to him, but he actually turns towards Merle, and Merle he's going to float over in your direction and rake one of his claws at you.
Remember, he has disadvantage.
It's a natural 20. Oh, manzies. That is a 15 plus 7, 22 versus your AC.
Well, that's definitely a hit.
Okay.
But at least he didn't hit you with a crit.
That is true. He hits you for 19 damage, and again, your suit sort of catches those blades and sort of converts it into blunt damage.
Nice. Wow. I can't believe my blunt got hurt.
Yeah, it's he hits you real, real, real hard. Next in the order, who rolled the 14?
I did.
Okay, it's you.
All right, I am casting one of my new spells, Guardian of Faith. A large spectral guardian appears and hovers for the duration in an unoccupied space of my choice, which will be right next to me.
Okay.
And we can see it. It occupies that space and is indistinct, except it holds a gleaming sword and shield.
Fuck yeah.
Emblazoned with the pipes of Pan.
Nice.
And what is it? Can you say what this thing looks like? And can it please be Roma Downey? I kind of want like a touch by an angel
thing.
Let's
do it.
It's your game, and I want you to do
it. No. I was gonna go with Hacksaw Jim Duggan, but I think Roma Downey would be better.
Okay. I really want some touch by an angel fan fiction stuff going on in the game.
Well, then I say it looks like Della Reese.
Fuck yes, ooh. Even better. Slam
Della Reese.
Yeah.
Now, any creature that's hostile that moves within 10 feet of the guardian, which is standing right next to us. For the first time in a turn, has to make a dexterity saving throw. It takes 20 radiant damage on a failed save, or half as much damage on a successful one.
Wow.
Jeez, okay.
And how long does it last?
until it deals 60 damage total.
Wow, damn, Delarice, wow. Holy shit.
Delarice is a badass.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, but this thing can't move. It's sort of like a stationary...
It's staying right next... It's right next to us.
Okay,
yes.
Cool. That's a neat spell.
Yeah.
Okay, so you built a little security person
for
yourself.
It kind of makes my swinging an axe at a guy look pretty pathetic, doesn't it, D&D
makers? No.
Okay, but that's your turn, right? Because you cast a spell.
That's my turn.
Next in the order is Taco.
So, like, what's this guy vulnerable to? Do we know?
Insults.
Oh,
global
okay.
warming.
Okay.
Just time, just the erosion of time.
The bite of a jealous lover.
Huh?
Huh?
Well, more like poetic bite, not like an actual bite. That'd be weird.
I'll go.
More
I will like, actually. You know, like,
don't worry about it.
Yeah, nothing. I forget I said anything.
I'm on a lot of cold medicine.
I'm going to confirm immunity to biting damage. Don't try and bite this fucking thing.
I mean, like,
kill it.
I guess I'm just kind of bored by.
Do you have any Sonic spells?
I mean, I've got Sonic the Hedgehog on Genesis. I brought the tape.
Do you have anything that lets you meld with stone?
Oh, crap.
A lot of people have been talking about that lately, and I don't think it makes any sense. I'm going to cast, you know what? I'm going to try Shatter. That sounds good for a crystal thing.
Holy shit.
A sudden loud ringing noise, painfully intense, erupts from a point of my choice within range. Each creature in a 10-foot radius sphere centered on that point, I'm just aiming for, like, its head. The creature takes 3d8 thunder damage on a failed save, or half as much on a successful one.
Read the next part.
Creature made of inorganic material, such as stone, crystal, or metal, has disadvantage on this saving throw. Yeah, that's why I cast it.
Fuck yes. Okay. I had no idea this spell existed when I wrote this whole campaign art. Okay. So here's the problem. This thing has got to be close to at least Merle, because he just moved and attacked Merle. So Merle, you're going to have to be a part of this save as well.
How big is the thing?
It's a 10-foot radius.
No, how big is the creature?
Oh, I did say it was 15 feet tall, didn't I?
Yeah, so I aimed at its head.
Okay, I'll give you that. Merle's no way is Merle 5 feet tall.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, cool.
4 foot 11 and a half tops.
Cool. Okay, yeah, so this thing has to save against your spell saving throw, which is...
Yeah.
8 plus your spellcasting modifier, which is either 6 or 7. You don't know.
7.
7, okay. So I have to beat a 15?
Yep.
I got a 17, but I fucking disadvantage. 14.
All right.
Shit. Okay, this thing's about to take a ton of damage.
Here it comes.
Here it comes. It's gonna be a D8... That won't deviate.
Okay.
I'm just trying to give you time.
Okay, so wait. Is the diamond? Yeah, it's a D8. 5. 8. 8. Wah!
21.
21 points of damage.
Okay. Not only that, one of its arms just explodes.
Sweet.
You just sort of reduce it to pink dust.
Quick question. Was it his favorite arm?
It was, I'll just say this. I don't want to get blue. If you're a child and you're listening to the show, legally you have to tell me or it's entrapment. This is baiting an arm.
Oh. Got it. For baiting fish hooks.
Exactly.
Oh, I thought he meant masturbating.
Dad?
Clinton.
What?
You don't know what that is. Shut up.
Grosser Rooney.
his arm explodes. But from behind the three of you, you hear more moving. More pieces of crystal tree fly at this thing and builds an even more deadly looking razor sharp clawed arm.
Cool. Is running an option?
I mean, it's always an option, yeah.
I see.
It is your turn. It is your turn, Magnus.
Sometimes Magnus rushes out.
It would be the first time I've heard of it. Although I suppose, you know, this podcast hasn't sort of encapsulated the entirety of your characters' lives.
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Magnus is 400 years old.
Well, we don't know about that.
Taco has a peanut allergy. We haven't even gotten to that yet.
Merle likes long walks on the beach.
I don't know. This just, it seems pointless. There's all this crystal around. What are we really hoping to do here? Fellas? Anything?
Hey, you're
on
your own.
I hit his head really hard with a shattering spell.
Yeah, no, and I thought that went great, but then, like, he made a tree arm or something.
I mean, I'm into running. Let me say that in my character voice. I'm into running. That's fine by me. If you guys want to bolt, let's do it.
Yeah, it looks like we are skedaddling.
Okay.
Are you okay with that, Magnus?
Yeah.
Merle?
I don't know if you saw, I hit him and did like 6 damage. That is not something I am used to.
Merle, you good with running?
I think that you're a bunch of honeys.
Okay.
I think this is the first time we've faced anything that was actually tough, that we weren't assured of beating.
Yeah.
And you're going to run away.
You know that if we all die, there's no more podcasts and we don't get the money from the Max Fund donations anymore, right?
Okay,
Griffin, wait. Before we do this, is this not what we're supposed to do? Because it really felt to me like we were supposed to run away.
But there's no, like...
This is our adventure.
Yeah, there's no, like...
Well, I want to win D&D.
Yeah, sure.
Don't chop up the kimono. Let it go.
I ripped open the kimono, whether you like it or not.
Okay, we'll say you guys are start moving away from this big crystal golem. And we'll use Magnus's turn as sort of the basis of that group action. And on the start of this crystal golem's turn, he watches. Where are you running?
Remind me of the options.
Back to where you dropped in, or that white circle of light around the metal hatch.
White circle of light, please.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Are we ever going to know why he pointed at Merle and said you?
Oh, because you just have one of those faces, you know, that people see and they're like, ooh, that guy.
The three of you make a break for that white hatch. And on its turn...
Wait a minute, can we please at least go...
Yes, I will assume that is what you, the sound that you create as you did that. And as you bolt on this crystal golem's turn, Della Reese is going to get a strike with her heavenly sword on it. And this thing makes a dexterity saving throw. Well, that's a 9, so I doubt that's going to clear it.
No.
So, yeah, Della Reese just stabs this thing right through its...
20 radiant damage.
It gets stabbed right through the old chest, and it actually takes 40 radiant damage. And you hear it scream through that crystal beak that it intimidated Merle with earlier. You hear it just, like, scream. And the light in this thing... kind of pops out of its chest and leaves that crystal golem, and the golem just falls to the ground.
I knew we could do it.
And, way to go, Della!
And a rift opens up back in space, and the light flies into it and disappears.
I never doubted us for a second.
I knew we could win.
Della Reese looks at you and says, looks like someone just got touched by an angel. And she sheathes her sword and disappears.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Wow.
That was an excellent adventure.
What kind of loot do we get?
I mean, there's a bunch of, virulent crystal all basically everywhere.
Fuck yeah, finally some crystal.
This place is probably worth about, 20 trillion gold pieces, just, like, in total.
Okay.
Just, like, if you take...
I still want to make our way to that glowing hatch thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to go check that out, too.
Okay. Yeah, it is a circular hatch... with a gap in between these two semicircle doors, and there is there's...
Oh, wait.
Huh?
Merle.
Huh?
That's why it was you, because you're the holy man, because you have some kind of religious thing, radianted double damage. That's why he singled you out.
Okay.
Let's remember that.
So this hatch has a small panel on the door of it, and it is not crystallized. And you hear actually Lucas come in through the pendant that the director gave you before you departed from the Bureau of Balance headquarters. You hear Lucas say, first of all, what the hell was that? What just happened? I heard a bunch of, like, was, crumbling and cracking and crinkle-tinkles.
Yeah, it was awesome. There was a crystal monster, and we lured him into a trap that we had set.
Yeah, we pretended we were running away.
Pretended we were running away.
And he fell for it.
He fell for it, dingus.
And then we killed it.
A trap. So, yeah, we killed it. Yeah, we did.
20 experience points.
We gave ourselves 25 Christmas experience points.
Well, there shouldn't be anything here. Anything that was in the crystallized rooms should have just gotten... Just should have gotten frozen. I don't understand.
Well, you weren't were you? You weren't here.
Hey, Lucas.
Yeah.
Magnus here. In your experiments with these crystals, did you ever hear a voice or sounds like something was talking to you?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right.
Us I don't either. Believe us you, neither.
But that's
cool. No, huh? It didn't happen to us either.
Nope.
Okay, have you made it to the exit of the conservatory to the first arcane airlock?
Is it the glowing hat?
Yeah, that's what it would look like. Yeah, sure.
Then yes.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just put your hand on the panel, and I'll channel enough energy into it, and let you guys through. And then once you move through that chamber, I'll be able to shut down that airlock and buy us a little bit more energy and a little bit more time.
I do that.
Okay.
Wait, is this going to affect how the reclaimers, all their shit, and being able to get in and stuff?
I thought we were the only reclaimers.
Are you saying that into the pendant?
No, I've got my hand over the pendant.
Okay.
I'm talking to Merle and
Forgot who they are or what they're doing.
And I don't care about them anyway.
The regulators, the ones who are like supposed to back us up and like arrest.
Yeah, they're doing a great job so far, aren't they?
Where are they?
They got blown away in the gnarly storm.
Oh, man. Like The Martian. Love that book. Listen. Okay? We're done here.
That's a good conversation, guys.
I think that we've already proven that we can't keep really good track of them. Just from, like, a narrative human being. Like, I don't think we can keep tabs on them. They've really got to fend for themselves because we need the time.
You know what? I can't fault your logic. All right, I uncover the pendant. I put my hand on the thing.
Here's what I'm saying. Either they die...
Okay, I recover the pendant.
Either they die or we forget them. Either way, they're not going to...
Probably both.
Probably both.
I uncover the pendant.
Oh, thank God. It was getting a little stuffy. Wait, that doesn't make sense.
No, that's not how that works. Are you in the pendant?
Can you live with the pendant?
He is independent.
Oh, that's a good joke. Anyway, just put your hand on the panel, on the door, and it should open up for you, and you'll be protected from that crystal thing. You should be the next chamber should be clear, as far as I know.
Cool, I do that.
Okay.
Well, hold on, that Merle Magnus.
No, that's okay.
God. Son of a damn it. Could you two not have gotten together on the letters with which your names begin?
Should I be Pearl?
Mine actually is a silent P.
So shit, then you're Pearl and Pagnus. You guys really are the worst two people.
What were you going to say, Tago?
Dad was going to say something. I'm just calling him Dad.
Okay.
He's my dad.
Dad, what were you going to say?
He was going to say something.
Well, I'm in character, okay. So I don't answer.
Holy
you.
Shit.
Fuck me running. Okay. Mergness is going to say something now.
I just was wondering if it might be a trap, but
nope. You're
obviously in a hurry to get through the airlock.
Nope, not a trap.
Oh, eat God. Me. We don't know you.
you're a dingbat, too. I don't like you at all, but let's go. I say we'll go through. This is getting boring, and this is a podcast. Let's go.
you move into the airlock, and it's like an airlock in a spaceship or a submarine. It's a small chain.
Which we have all been in.
No. Well, maybe? Probably.
Maybe in the backstory.
Probably not. It's just a little chamber, and it has two of these white circular hatches on either side. And as you move into the airlock, it is not crystallized. It is it's made of just sort of a white metal. And the hatch closes behind you, and you hear a hissing sound. There's some smoke in the room, and then the chamber's full of snakes, and you drown in snakes.
Not again.
No, there's no snakes, just a little bit of smoke, and then the smoke clears, and you hear like a bing-bong noise. Maybe I'll put that in post, maybe I won't. And
wait, you said smoke and bong? Cheech and Chong are in there.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I thought you were doing...
And they're covered in snakes. And Cheech is a snake, and so is Chong. They're both snakes.
It's all snakes. It's snakes all the way down.
Soup to nuts. Snakes.
Man, I hope when J.J. Abrams remakes this podcast, he takes all this stuff out.
What were you deciding to do, guys? Just lose a lot of the snake stuff. We know the fans love it, but we worried that it wouldn't be as approachable, the material, because it's real heavily laden with snakes. I didn't really understand. It becomes hard to follow, because our
heroes... J.J. Abrams a puppet?
Our heroes become snakes, and they are all married to snakes, and they use snakes as weapons.
Hand me some of that macaroni and cheese with snakes
in the blood
on
that
it.
Lets them do magic.
They eat snakes for fuel, and they become snake robots for a while. It's very confusing. So we got rid of most of the snakes. There's still a lot of snakes. But I mean, it's just a regular amount of snakes for the Adventure Zone, which for any other thing is still an enormous amount of snakes.
So,
and lens flare. That's the two big things.
So, on the other end of this airlock is more snakes. on the other end of this airlock, I know I said there was a hatch on the other side. There's actually two hatches. It branches off. It's forming sort of a Y junction. And hanging in between those two hatches is a sign. And it is noting which is in either direction. And you hear Lucas say, now you should be at a branch in the path. And I'll be able to buy us a little bit more time. We're at about, we're running real low, guys. We're at about 10 minutes before this thing hits the water. So whichever one you go in, I'll be able to disable the airlock on the other side and buy us a bit more time by giving me more energy to channel into the core. So pick a side, and I'll just after you go through, I'll shut down the other one.
What are the two sides?
Well, to the left, you see a sign over the hatch that says "Research Material Storage Chamber," and then on the right, you see a sign that says "The Magical World of Elevators."
Really?
Yeah, Griffin. That's what it says.
Griffin's really sticking it to the people who say he's not allowed to have elevators in this game.
Again, it's the Research Material Storage Chamber or the Magical World of Elevators.
This one's easy. It's elevators. Let's go.
Here we go. Yep.
Okay, you walk forward and open up this next hatch, and it spins open to a beautiful, ornate room. A fairly large chamber that almost sort of resembles like a museum, with these different exhibits lining both sides of this long chamber, inside of each exhibit in little brass and wood display cases, you see different elevators. And you hear Lucas chime in and say, like, oh, you made it to the magical world of elevators, huh?
Yes.
This lab has been in my family for a few generations. I inherited it from my mom, but there was a codicil in the will that required that I keep this museum honoring my grandpa's greatest technological accomplishment intact. He invented the elevator. And honestly, like most of the technological advancements in our world, that was all Grandpa Roman. So, I couldn't change it, but go ahead and have a look around. I think you might learn a little bit of something about elevators.
Don't we have, like, shit to do?
Is it hard feeling like you're always in his shadow?
Oh, good question.
Do you feel like you're in Roman's shadow?
I mean, a little bit sometimes. Like, I'm trying to make my own mark on the world, and frankly, I feel like a lot of...
And it's, mm-hmm.
A lot of his inventions were kind of primitive, and... people just aren't as excited about inventions. Like, when the first elevator came around, forget about it. But you try and invent a new, better elevator, and people don't want to hear
it. Well, it's an up-and-down business.
People say that
God.
People say that about Thomas Edison a lot. Like, he invented the light bulb, but they didn't have them back then, right? So if I had been around back then, that would have been easy for me, because they didn't have light bulbs. They didn't have anything. So, like, inventing stuff was way easier. These days, I'd have to invent like a double light bulb or something to even get that kind of impact.
Just wait, hold on for a second. I got to write that down.
Double light bulb? You can have that one. That's fine.
No, don't give it to him.
No, money is no object to me.
That's patently untrue. That's not in character. I'm just telling you. I'm calling horseshit on that on behalf of our listening audience.
No.
It's just the facade.
The fact that money is patently important to Taco is patently untrue. That Paco would say that,
yeah,
is not.
Okay, fair.
And I think we've learned a little bit about Lucas today.
Yeah, it feels really grown.
Let's go home and think about what we've learned.
I gotta say, the timing on this episode's a little bit off, because I think we're at the end of it now, and man, it would have been cool if it had ended with Della Reese stabbing a crystal monster to death, and not the three of you entering a museum and then, like, having a talk with some guy about his grandpa.
Well, why don't you recut that in okay. here, Griffin?
Della Reese shows up and stabs through an elevator. And she says, well, I got a taste for it now.
I just love killing.
It hates elevators.
I'm Della Reese, and I love killing.
Looks like this elevator just got touched by an angel, right, guys?
More like a delevator.
This one's going down.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hi, my name is Justin McElroy.
And I'm Dr. Sydney McElroy.
We host the medical history podcast Sawbones, a tour of all the weird, stupid, terrible, horrifying, hilarious ways that we've tried to fix people over the years.
If you haven't been listening to Sawbones, you've missed out on topics like
the seasick proof saloon,
the woman who gave birth to bunnies,
the unkillable Phineas Gage,
the true story of Typhoid Mary,
polio.
And you can check out Sawbones every Wednesday by going to iTunes or wherever podcasts are sold.
They don't sell podcasts. I told you this.
Or presented.
Offered for free. It's free. What better selling point could there be than that? Every Wednesday, MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are offered. It's Sawbones.